The scene that I feel like everyone would have been waiting for, you know, when after they picked the mushrooms.
Oh, you were waiting for that scene.
I think not everyone. I was telling Ryan, I was like, I think that was like the climax.
I was like, oh no, they're going to do it.
Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast. This is your co-host Jules.
And this is your co-host Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your safe space on the internet where we share and discover real stories.
We chat about a range of topics from personal growth, career, TV shows, and much more.
Come sit with us
and get nourished.
How are you, Rox?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Jules?
I'm good. It's great to have a guest. We have our very first animal guest on the show.
Yes.
For our Spotify listeners, we have my dog, Pepper, with us on set today. And yeah, she's just chilling with us. She asked me if she could join us. So I was like, sure, why not? And now she's here. Turn off this episode if you don't want any spoilers today, because we are going to be basically, talking about Pachinko and
the first couple of episodes.
Like yeah.
And we're gonna, right now there's three out, but yeah.
And the book as well. So if you haven't read the book or if you haven't watched the show, Feel free to switch it off.
Yeah, feel free to switch it off and come back maybe after you've watched the first episode.
Yeah, unless you just like spoilers.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, did you watch the show? And when did you watch it?
Yeah, I've seen episode one and two. Episode one I watched, I think, yesterday and then two today. How about you?
I watched episode one, two, three last night.
All together?
Yeah.
In a row?
Yeah, like back to back.
Back to back.
Yeah.
It's a long, long movie.
Yeah.
Much.
Yeah. But for me, I've been like waiting for this for so long.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, it's almost like a historical moment, I feel like.
It is.
For something like this to be created. I mean, obviously, there's been heaps of Asian, really cool Asian movies and TV shows that are going, you know, really being really popular globally, which is quite cool. But I think Pachinko is like a different flavor, you know, it's a different, it plays a different role in this whole like movement that's happening right now.
Yeah.
So it's just super, super exciting and I can't wait to talk about it. I'm so excited.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about it now. maybe also let's establish like, have you read the book? You read it a while ago, I think, right?
Yeah. So I read it, I think a year and a half ago. I don't know when I was on a trip in Byron and that's where I like reading when I'm traveling. So I just smashed the book out and I was like just stuck to my Kindle reading it and I really, really enjoyed the book. And then when I heard there was a TV show about it, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Can't wait. Like, you know, you always want to know like, oh, what I read, is it going to be similar to like how they, you know, do things in the TV show? So I was really, I've been waiting for a long time.
I had it downloaded on my Kindle for ages because my friend recommended it like, I don't know, a year or two ago. And I'm not a big reader, but recently I had finished Normal People and that was really quick. And then I was like, okay, it's good to – I'm trying to include reading in my routine before I go to bed. And then I realized I had Pachinko in my library. I was like, okay, let's read this. And it's been really enjoyable because I feel like there's so much I don't know. It's like a glimpse into history as well, and in particular what was happening in Asia. But yeah, there were a few chapters where I just couldn't sleep because I had to finish them back to back. So yeah, I'm only 80% in, so I'm not finished. But when I saw the trailer for Pachinko, I thought it was a movie.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I thought it was like this movie that was coming out and I was like, oh, it looks epic. Like, can't wait to watch this movie. And then it was only recently, like a few weeks ago, that I realized, oh, it's a TV show.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
eight episodes. So, yeah, I'm really excited as well.
Yeah. Like, even when I was watching the TV show, I think I had to keep reminding myself, like, this is not a movie. This is actually a TV show.
Because it feels like a movie.
It feels like a movie. Yeah. It's very tense. It's
very beautiful, cinematic.
The
acting is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite dramatic. It's not like a bingey show, I feel.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's very serious.
It is very serious. Yeah. I think that's what me and like Ryuta were saying, like while we were watching it, we're like, oh, it's really tense. Like it's kind of heavy.
It's very heavy. Yeah. I think it's heavy because it's there's a lot of pain. Like you can feel like there's a lot of pain in that certain time.
Mm-hmm. I don't
know. Like was it 19 when Sunja's a kid?
Yeah.
And then just starting off with her dad, like full spoiler right now, but
don't worry, you've already done your blanket spoiler alert.
Yeah, I feel like you just know it is heavy. Having read the book, you know what's kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know as well. Like it's definitely, you need to be prepared, I feel like emotionally, to watch it as well. Like even though you're very excited, it's like, it's definitely a serious drama.
Do you reckon it'll feel more serious and like more painful for different audiences?
Yeah, like for you being Korean and that's kind of like your background and what people went through. Do you feel like it's definitely closer, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, at least like for me, I think when I was watching it and reading the book, it felt really close to home. I don't think I've ever read a book or watched a TV show that felt almost like kind of like my story. I mean, not my personal story, because I didn't go through all those hardships, but I feel like as a child, I got to have a taste of understand what it was like. Because I feel like, you know, the drama is, and the book, it's about four generations, and I feel like I am at that fourth generation, and
you're in that Western country.
Exactly.
You speak English really well, like,
yeah,
and everyone before you worked so hard to get you here almost. Yeah, it's and you're overseas now, but all that, like last time when we were saying our ancestors, it's like
we are
a product of our ancestors, and all that is still in you.
Exactly. And I actually lived with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So she still lives here.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was born in like 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah. And she's like 94 or something like that. I don't know. She's super old.
Yeah.
But she's been living here for like almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I lived with her in my primary school years for about 4 or 5 years. And it was my grandma and my grandpa. So
And your parents.
And my parents. We all lived together. And I think about that time in my life a lot when I watch or read Pachinko, because there were lots of weird things like about my, not weird, but like things that I would think, oh, that's a bit, you know, interesting that I, like at the time I wouldn't know, but in high school I'd think, oh, how come my grandma could speak Japanese? She's Korean.
Yeah.
Or that time when I went to Japan as a year 10 student, I was in Osaka and I was so shocked because all the grandpas there, they looked exactly like my grandpa, like the fashion and everything.
Mm.
And I would, to the point, like, think, why does everyone look like my grandpa here? And I didn't really think
of
it.
Did your grandpa spend time in Osaka?
Yeah. So fun fact, I don't know if it's fun fact, is that my grandpa actually lived in Osaka for 20 years.
Wow. Well, that explains it.
I know, right? And so I think after that trip in year 10, I went back to my parents and I said, you know, everyone looked like grandpa in Osaka. Like the fashion, the hair, everything.
Yeah.
And then my dad was like, well, maybe it's because grandpa lived in Osaka for 20 years.
Oh, I didn't know. Like, and then you're like, oh, I didn't know that.
Of course, I didn't know that. And I was like,
did he meet your grandma there?
No. So for this podcast, I did a little bit of research.
Okay.
I did a quick phone call to my dad on my way here. Yeah. And I said, Dad, tell me a bit about grandpa again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, well, grandpa was born in Korea in 1932.
Mm-hmm.
And then his whole family moved to Osaka for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the war was over, they flew back to Korea. And mm-hmm. that's probably where he met grandma. Because my grandma has never been to Japan. She was in Korea the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like, I don't know. It's like.
It's very interesting because so the way weird, they right? talk about Osaka or during the war there. I don't know. Is your grandpa still around?
No. So my grandpa passed away when I was in year six. And mm-hmm. All I remember is that he looked very Japanese and mm-hmm. that he lived in Osaka.
He can speak it.
He can speak Japanese, Korean. And I know that my grandma and grandpa, they would speak in Japanese to each other when they wanted to bitch about my parents. Or when they're pissed or fighting, then they'll speak in Japanese to each other.
Mm.
And also they would like mix Japanese words. For example, they always used the Japanese word for onion.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, like, you know, potato, da 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 da, like everything Korean. But
and then onion is just.
Tamanegi is onion in Japanese. I actually thought tamanegi was a Korean word.
Oh, for onion.
I thought it was just like another Korean version saying onion.
It's like trickled down.
Yeah. And then when I started studying Japanese in high school, I was like, tamanegi? Like when I'm learning the vocabulary.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like that's actually a Japanese word. I didn't know a lot of these like random words are Japanese. So it was always like interesting when I was like learning Japanese, like realizing, oh, that's actually... They prefer the Japanese word. Yeah.
It's like you were saying, like Honglish or Chinglish. It's like you kind of mix in the two languages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is what is cool about the show when they remind you which color is Japanese and which color is Korean.
Yeah.
I
love that, how they did that. I've never seen a show do that before.
Yeah, like, usually when it's English, it's just no subtitles. If you're in an English movie and then there's a foreign language, then the foreign language will be the only subtitles.
Yeah, so true. So they had subtitles in English as well.
Yeah. Did they? No, they didn't. No, I'm just saying, I've only seen one color.
Yeah, that really surprised me when when they even had that in the beginning, like, blue is Japanese and yellow is this color. Like, I remember thinking, wow, this is really cool. As soon as I saw that, I knew this is going to be a freaking sick show. I knew that moment.
Because they put that in the beginning and you're like, oh, wow, I've never seen that before. You already like sets the importance of the two languages in the story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also in the time. But also, wanted to ask, your grandma learned Japanese because Korea was occupied.
Yeah. At the time. So my grandma was in Korea her whole life until she immigrated here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like she wouldn't share too many stories around that, but she did always stress to me that I have to study. Okay, yeah. I don't know if you had that as well growing up, but my grandma would always say, you have to study, and clean your room. But study. And, you know, because I'm living with her as well, I'm like, oh my God, please just like let me be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched Pachinko again, it reminded me like, wow, study, like they couldn't study back then. Like not even like Korean because of the occupation, but just in general, like women, you know how like Sunja's dad is like trying to push Sunja to get education, but her mom was like, nah, you don't need it. Like it's not worth it kind of thing.
Yeah.
That made me realize like, oh wow, that's why my grandma wanted me to study so much, because
I have the choice
to do it,
you
know, and how frustrating is it for her to see I must look like such a spoiled kid, right? Like, I don't have any hardships. I'm in Australia. And she's like, come on, study. Like, you know how lucky you are to be, you know, to be in this position.
The older generation will always think that way. I think, but it's understandable, right? Like, it's also, I don't know how to say it. Well, I didn't know my grandparents that well, but I think my mom would be like, study, I think that's very universal in Asian culture, but Western Asians. But I feel like it's almost a luxury for us to be able to study, but we don't have to do well and we'll still be fine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's very important because back then it's like you didn't even have a chance to study. And so if you have the chance, like make the most of it. I think that's, I don't know.
Yeah. So I feel like because of Pachinko and like the book and the TV show, it's just helping me understand my grandma better and all the sort of weird, ridiculous things that she would make me do.
Yeah.
Like there was just little quirks, you know, like even like with plastic. She never liked me using Glad Wrap.
Oh.
Like she would always put another like plate on top of it, on top of the bowl.
Rather isn't than that wasteful?
Yeah, she'll be like, you're only using it once.
Yeah.
And then I would always be like, no, I like Glad Wrap because, you know, you can see through it. It's practical and it's one less
it's
plate.
It's more sustainable to use the plate.
I know, but now I'm like, shit, Glad Wrap's crap, you know. And now I'm doing what my grandma does and I always put a plate on top of my bowl now. Just little things like that. I feel like I understand more from her position and it's like a weird feeling for me. It's like, oh, wow, like I used to be get so annoyed at my grandma, like living with her. But now as an adult, now like, I'm just realizing.
Why is she being so weird?
Yeah, then, now I'm like, you know, holy crap, like I get it now. I get why she, you know, bugged me about this or that.
Yeah.
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 But speaking of my grandma, I was actually thinking I would dial her in. I don't know if she's going to pick up. We can like edit. We can edit it out if she doesn't pick up.
Yeah.
But she recently got a mobile phone. And I basically think my grandma is Sunja. So it's relevant. So this is real life Sunja. Hi, Moni.
Aigo. 오랜만이다.
할머니 나 누구야?
너가 누구니? 가만 너 누구야?
할머니 나 누구야?
지은이 지은이니?
네 맞아요.
어?
지은이에요.
하다 오랜만에 뵈는 게 목소리 뒤집었다.
아.
아이고 그래 잘 있었냐?
네.
웬일이야? 웬일 오늘 또 웬일이니? 너무 반가웠어.
아 할머니 보고 싶어서 전화하는 거죠.
아이고. 가끔 전화 좀 해라. 전화 오는 데가 없어가지고 너무 답답한 거야.
아, 자주 아이고, 자주 할게요.
목소리 뒤집을 정도로니까.
네.
네. 오늘 어떻게 마음이 내셨어?
네? 아, 그냥 이것저것 얘기하다가 할머니 생각나서요.
그래 어쨌든 잘 지내고 있지?
네네. 오늘 밥 잘 먹었어요? 다 챙겨 먹었어요? 어? 밥 잘 챙겨 먹었어요?
뭐?
밥. 밥 잘 챙겨 드시냐고요.
아이고 밥은 내가 밥 챙겨 먹는 게 재미밖에 없잖아. 잘 챙겨 먹고.
네.
내는 굉장히 건강한 거야. 밥 잘 먹고 잠 잘 자고
네.
아무 데도 아픈다고. 그저 아빠가 잘해주지. 아무것도 보는 게 없어요. 그냥 가끔 전화는 한번 해주라.
네네.
너
알겠어요.
목소리가 더 꾸졌더라고. 그래 어쨌든 잘 지내 건강하게 지내야 된다.
네 할머니도요.
그래, 안 나가나?
나가요.
나가?
네.
아, 네. 아, 너는 안 나가도 또 집에서 일하면 되니까.
네.
어쨌든
네.
네가 옛날에 줄거기 하나 사준 거 그거고 난나 요새 줄만 끊어놓는 거야.
네.
도대체 뭐 어떻게 됐을까 싶으면 내가 몇 건째 샀다고.
아 진짜?
고모도 선물하고 어, 줄거기. 계속 여서 줄만 끊고 사는 거야. 진짜로 너무너무 재밌어.
알겠어. 또 사줄게요.
목소리 들을게. 너무너무 고맙다.
네.
반갑다. 가끔 전화 좀 해라.
네.
그래. 네. 그냥 건강하고.
네. 오케이. 바이
그래.
할머니. 바이. 바이. I wasn't expecting her to pick up.
So cute. Is how many her the grandma?
Yeah, grandma. Hi, money.
And then ne is like yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I know. I don't know anything.
That's pretty good.
She sounds so sweet.
She's like really old, guys. Like she's like 94, 95.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she lives by herself, feeds herself.
She must have really good
That's what
health.
I mean. She is Sunja. Like she is stubborn. She is so healthy.
What was she saying at the beginning that you were laughing at?
Oh, was I was laughing at?
The way she said hello.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, long time no see.
Oh, yeah. Long
time no see. She's like, who are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. She was like, who
are you?
Who's this?
Who's this?
And I was like, guess who I am? And she's like, oh, it's you, Chiyun, isn't it? And yeah, she knew. Because, like, we live together, so yeah. I think we have a bit of a strong bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised that her hearing wasn't as bad. Sometimes her hearing is so bad when I call her mobile. But
The
landline is good. Yeah. But she kept saying, like, call me more often, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, and then you're like,
yeah. Yeah, I felt bad. I felt bad because I never really call her.
That's so cool.
Yeah, okay. So that's Sunja, guys.
What's your grandma's actual name?
Her name is Haegyeong.
Haegyeong.
I think she's Han Haegyeong.
Han Haegyeong. Cool.
And then now she's Kim Haegyeong. And her English name is Hedi Kim. She named herself Hedi. H-E-D-Y.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And she's basically all she does is like study English. That's all she's done here. Like study. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. She has that strong emphasis on study. Like another thing, speaking of study, is that she couldn't study Korean. So I remember she told me that if they wanted to study Korean, they would like smuggle books and it would be oh, here, this study Korean like this because it was illegal.
Mm-hmm. So she had to learn that later.
Yeah. So I would say her Korean isn't that good. Like her Japanese is good.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think it's almost like she wants to forget it, I feel like.
Japanese?
Yeah. Because it's not.
It was
like,
forced.
It was forced. Her, yeah. So a lot of her, like the grandmas, like they're not proud that they can speak Japanese, like another language. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, that random person over there, that voice that you may have heard, we actually have an intern, assistant, a guest, whatever we want to call him, here today.
You can create your own title.
His name is Ryudo, and he's my partner. and we thought he might be interesting for him to like join in and answer some question or ask some questions, because he's actually half Korean and half Japanese. So that actually is a really unique perspective, I feel. And there's so much history there that we're actually like unpacking now, aren't we? Yeah.
Like unpacking, while watching the show or just thinking about it more.
I think just even with the pandemic and everything, you're just like stuck in your rooms. You're just thinking more about life.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I feel like as we get older, we ask our parents or we think about things they would have gone through or think about what their relationship would have been like with their parents, which is our grandparents. And then not that we forget, but it's like we realize that they have a whole other story that when we weren't even alive yet, that they had to go through.
And I think
it's almost like asking the right questions or some people that might like, oh, I've never asked my parents that. Or there's certain things that I still don't know.
Yeah.
And it's about asking the right question because sometimes my parents will deflect me or they'll just answer something very simple and I'm like, no, but what were you doing? Or, you know, you have to like dig deep else they kind of just like, oh, I don't remember or depending on what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's hard to ask those right questions. That's the tricky part, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get it out of them. That's why I thought that the opening scene of Pachinko was so great when they switch back between the times. Mm-hmm. So like when Sunja was born versus Solomon like in America in 1989. Mm-hmm. By the way, 1989, that's when we were born.
That's when we were born. So I was like, yeah, that was it. And I like that when they go back to the 80s, it feels so 80s too. Like just everything, like their dress and, you know, Japan was such an important economy. It still is, but it was at its peak, you know, around then, in Asia anyway. And I just thought it was really interesting. And then another thing that it reminded me of was Joy Luck Club. I don't know if you guys have watched it, but Joy Luck Club was very old. Like sometimes I think when
You know how Crazy Rich Asians came out and it was a really huge deal yeah. that it was an all Asian cast and everything?
Yeah.
And then I think a few media outlets or people would remind, like, there was Jolat Club, like, back in the day.
Yeah.
It was a book and it was made into a movie. I think that was more about two or three generations, but more about an immigrant family in America. But I feel like there were similarities there. But, yeah, you definitely need to concentrate to kind of know, oh, which time is this, like, what's happening? Yeah,
it's definitely not a binge-watchy TV show at all. Yeah. You have to be quite switched on and
read the. Well, I need to read the subtitles, but you don't. Do you still read them if you know both languages?
I do because I want to. I mean, a lot of the I think I was in like analytical mode as well, so I wanted to see like, oh, how good is their Korean? Is it Korean or is it Japanese? I was curious about the actors. Like, are they what background they are? So Solomon, I think he. We Googled him and he, because we, his Korean was, I would say it sounds like a Korean American. Yeah. And then Ryoto said that his Japanese was like really not that great because his Japanese is meant to be like fluent, like perfect, right?
Yeah, I was wondering because I don't know either language well at all. And then I was like, oh, I wonder how they trained to speak both languages or if they already knew one.
Yeah.
So it's good you did the background
actually,
search.
When Imino, the Lee Minho, I mean, when he... the Kohansu? Yeah. So when he started speaking in... He's Korean. Oh, he's okay, a big he's Korean huge. K... Like, okay. Not K-pop, K-drama star, by the way. So he's really... He has a huge, like, fan base and everything. And when he spoke in Japanese... Ryder started cracking up.
Oh,
he's
no.
So
wasn't that funny?
I mean, it's
no,
not.
But that's because you know Japanese well.
Wait, do you want to come? Maybe, okay.
Okay, transition Ryder, into Ryder in. Joining us.
We're actually going to invite Ryder on the show and we were just trying to find when is the most natural moment to include him.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'll be great. Over? I reckon Ryder, can you fit in here? Peppa.
Sorry, Peppy. Hi, everyone. My name is Ryder. Nice to meet you.
Are you feeling all right? Are you nervous?
Yeah, a little bit nervous. Okay.
Yeah, don't you feel like, oh, is this what it feels like?
Yeah, it feels
from this
different.
Sitting here.
Yeah.
It's really different from like sitting there.
Yeah.
Sitting here,
yeah. Because when you're watching, people probably think like, oh, it's so easy to speak in front of a camera and like be on a podcast. Anyone can do a podcast, but it's... It's freaking nerve-wracking. Like anyone can do it. Yeah, yeah.
What else did you guys like about the show so far?
Mm-mm. I really liked the music. I thought that, you know, the intro? The intro, gave me major Wonka Y vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Like having
English songs,
yeah,
or like famous in English like, songs.
When I think about Wong Kar Wai, I always think about that song. You know, na 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 na. When the skies were grey, when the skies were grey. You guys know
that? I don't know the name of the song.
I'm sure some of our listeners know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I hope. that's what I felt with the intro of Pachinko when they're all dancing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fun. That's like a really fun way to like break up the episodes, I feel, because as we said before, it's super heavy and tense. Yeah, there's not like a single funny moment. There's no like breathing room, is there? Like there's no like not a moment of comedic relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of relief. It's no. Like, no. It's all it's quite so heavy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The only comedic part is the intro when they're dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, so thank God for that.
And dancing in their own costumes in their own time.
Yeah.
And
I also thought, like, with the music, because it's so Western and something I kept thinking about while watching it was, is this a K-drama or does this feel like an American TV show?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Because it does kind of feel like a K-drama in a way because you've got, I think casting Imino, the Kohansu, he casting him makes it feel like a K-drama, I feel, because
he comes from that world.
Yeah, he comes from that world, and he's like a big star. If you haven't seen Boys Over Flowers, he like blew up on that on that show.
Anyone else in the show from K-drama?
Not so much K-drama, but the grandma. Did you recognize the grandma? She's the grandma from Minari. So she's more like movies, not the typical like classic K-drama vibe. But I just thought it was interesting that this storyline, it's like definitely something that I feel like a Korean production team could never produce. This is pure, like, it's very like Western gaze, I feel. It is the experience of the Korean like people, but it's hard. I don't know. I'm sure there's like lots of books and other things about it, but Pachinko itself, I feel like it's more American to me.
Yeah.
Than even though it's like mostly in Korean, it definitely felt more, I think, American. I had to keep reminding myself, like, this isn't a K-drama. This is created by Apple TV. Yeah. And, you know, even like every time you see the intro every time you see the intro, you see like the credits, right? It's like mostly non-Asian names, except for like Justin Chan and stuff. But what about you guys? Did you feel like it was Asian, like a K-drama vibe, or was it more American show, or did it not even cross your mind? Did you just think, oh, it's just a Pachinko TV show on Apple TV?
I feel like for me, I get the Western gaze. Like, I understand that. And I know it's on Apple TV Plus. But for me, it feels more like indie international film.
I just laugh because you called it Apple TV Plus.
Isn't it?
Apple TV. Is it? Is it Apple TV Plus?
I don't know.
I thought it was Plus, because Apple TV is the box.
Oh, okay. Right. Maybe you're right. I was thinking,
It's like Disney Plus is Disney Plus. I don't know why they add. Oh, am I getting mixed up?
Disney Plus is Disney Plus.
Yeah. I thought Apple TV Plus was also Plus. Why do they add that?
I don't know.
anyways, so what was I talking about? Western gaze. To me, it feels more of like an international film. Like, to me, it's not just fully American. To me, it's like it could be a French film, or not film, but or it could be just an indie kind of vibe to me. I don't feel like it's full American show either, because when I think of full American show, I think of, I don't know,
like Suits, Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel that. Just maybe purely because everyone's Asian, or even the subject matter. Like, I don't feel like, and they're not speaking English, like, I just don't feel that. But I definitely feel the American influence.
What do you think?
I think it's not really K-drama, but originally I thought it's like a Western movie that about Koreans, like the Korean culture. But it does have like that its own like genre feel, or I don't know what it is, but like a foreign indie film sort of thing.
I think them tying in Solomon's story from the very beginning, because that's not how it is in the book, right? In the book, it's, I mean, blanket spoiler alert, but
in the book it's pretty chronological.
It is.
Yeah, it like goes by years and
thought that them bringing in Solomon's experience
Straight away,
I thought that's what made me feel like, oh, it's a bit more American, just to cater to an American audience. Because otherwise, if they didn't have that, I don't know if it would have been as captivating and like as relatable. It's because they had that scene with the American, like, everyone has like an American, every American company probably has a Asian dude. So they have that, you know, something to like relate back to. Whereas, like, if you just started off with the scene of Sunja getting born, I don't know if it would have struck a chord with just the average American.
I feel like I'm bringing it back to Jola Club again, but I feel like it's just for people who haven't read the book, it's a way to translate a book into like a visual, like film or series where you're drawing parallels straight away mm-hmm. into like the struggle of the new generation versus the struggle of the original generation in their homeland and the parallels there. It's just, it's like there already
yeah.
given to the viewer. Mm-hmm. You don't have to read the whole book to learn what actually happens.
And make those parallels post yeah, like, yeah, after like, you've read
they're
it.
They're doing it for you. Mm-hmm, they're mm-hmm. linking their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that even Solomon is in the 80s, he still has his own struggles. Like every mm-hmm. time he gets those jabs like yeah. from yeah, the
yeah.
American
yeah.
and from Japanese colleague, yeah. I was like, oh, that sucks. Every yeah. time he got something just small, like
yeah. subtle
so
ones.
Subtle yeah. and I'm something about the tie and I was just like, oh,
yeah,
what an asshole. Like,
mm.
but it's so real because people are like that.
It's true. It's people like, it's can actually like that.
Even friends you might call friends, like you understand those jabs
yeah.
like and it hurts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh.
But you know what was sad when the American was making some of those jabs? It was when he was like, oh, you know, the whole Korea and Japan thing, it's in the past.
Yeah, it's over now, right?
It's over. It's cool. Over, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like I had that mentality before because for me, like me understanding like the Japanese and Korean history, I didn't learn it through the hardships and like, you know, hearing all the stories and then
it's very factual.
For me, I actually got exposed to it the other way. Like I would learn about Japan through like pop culture, like through anime and manga and the dramas. And then you do more digging and you're like, you learn about the language and then you learn about the history. Like I actually unpacked it the other way. So for me now, I don't know what that means, but like, I just feel like I'm almost you're like unlearning. A Westerner.
Like you're unlearning.
Yeah, exactly. I'm unlearning.
View and yeah, then yeah, yeah. Closer to our Asian roots, which I yeah. feel like what is what we're trying to do with
this
podcast.
Yeah.
Like the older I get, the more curious and interested I am in, yeah, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. I grew up thinking that, I think I remember having an argument with my dad and I was like, oh, we're in Australia now. Racism isn't a thing. There's the, what's the policy? Anti-discrimination policy. People shouldn't be allowed to discriminate. I think I was like, I don't know, 12 or year 7 or something. And he was like, you'll know, you'll see. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then now I'm like, oh, okay. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel bad now. I don't know. I'm just having a bit of a moment now. But I'm thinking like all those times I've told my parents, like, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. Or just get over it. Like now is now, you know. Mm-hmm. And they stop holding on to old traditions.
Yeah.
It's like,
like there's some things obviously so we should let go. Like I think, you know,
but there's
war
also
and stuff is really crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because someone is of certain culture doesn't mean, you know, thousands of years ago what happened then. And it shouldn't, you know, there's different things we should let go, but then there's things that we should
still try and understand. Yeah. That's why Pachinko is amazing because it's unlocking a lot of conversations actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like even me calling my dad today, I would have never called him to ask about my grandpa if, you know, if it wasn't for Pachinko, you know?
Mm.
Something else I found interesting was like how it's almost like everything would be when it comes to race or what was happening. It's like the Japanese were commenting about the smelly food or just like how people dress or every it's almost like every aspect of, like you said, like language, like banning the language, like everything is suppressed and not like it's just so crazy that to have that happen would be so how do you say it, like you'd be so angry, right? Like
Wait,
how dare you disrespect my food, like I love this food, what are you talking about?
When Rock said angry, did you think of something? Oh no! I was thinking. I thought we had like Han. So that anger that you just mentioned, it's actually a thing. There's even a word for it in Korean.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I don't actually know what the Korean word is, but the English way of saying it is like the Han.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like the rage and the anger that the Korean people hold on, like they just have it in them. I don't want to stereotype or generalize here, but every time it's almost like a joke, but if you see an angry Korean, I'm always like, oh, it's the Han.
It's the Han. The rage from years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely a thing. And I do feel like, there is still a lot of anger. Especially amongst the older generation.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if it's in episode one or two, but like someone says, like, this invasion is actually going to cause, this curse is going to last generations. And I feel like that's like carried, the Han is like carried down like multiple generations.
Yeah, that's interesting. It was like when you explained the Han just now, sometimes it's almost like that immigrant experience, or not the rage. I don't know if it's exactly the rage or the anger, but it also is like, because once you move to a new country, it's like turning that into drive. It's like that becomes, might become your drive to work hard, get educated. You better fucking go to school and get educated, get a good job, like make sure you make a place for yourself, like hold your head high, or, you know, whatever it might be. It's like, it comes because there was that suffering, even with, like, you know, the Vietnam War everything, right? Like, yeah, just, it definitely adds to the culture.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the Vietnam War as well when you talked about that. Yeah. Because that's, like, it's not that, like, long ago.
That was
ago.
Very recent too, yeah.
And it's hard because, yeah, of course, right now times have changed. Look around us. Okay, we are going through a pandemic, but, you know, everyone has a roof over their head and life's not so terrible, you know? But the thing is, like, it's still there. Like, that pain, it's still there. And you might not realize it, but, like, that's why digging your family's history and past is so, like, it's so important because, like, it helps you understand everything from a bigger picture and even understand yourself as well. Sometimes I think, like, why am I feel like sometimes I have that Korean anger in me too.
Yeah.
Because I learned it from my dad.
Your Korean, you're so like,
excuse me?
Your
what?
What? Like, turn it into your drive, maybe.
Yeah. I'm sure I reckon Ryder has that Korean anger in him too.
Yeah. Without me even knowing.
Yeah, I think that's cool when you're like, you unlock something in yourself and it purely comes down from your bloodline. And you're like, oh, that makes sense. It's like, it's just always there. It's like a mark.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know how Solomon says something about instinct of survival? I feel like every kind of immigrant experience has that survival mode. Like, you know, and after you get to survival mode, like maybe generation after generation, it's like, you know, people want to, you know, you want to build enough wealth for the next generation. So that thing in the past would never freaking happen.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're so worried about the past that you want to make sure that, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Survival. I would probably die if I was in that situation. Yeah.
Have you heard of like that triangle? Like
needs and
the needs.
Yeah.
So the very bottom is like food, shelter, and like water, everything you need for basic survival. And then the next level is like
community,
maybe something like that. And then like the very top, it's like transcendence or whatever. Yeah. Like anything, like
it's like self
awareness and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our parents were in that survival mode, like it's all about having a roof over your head. And then we're
like, oh, sense of purpose.
Why am I here? Who am I? Like, we have the privilege to
values.
Whether we have a roof over our head, that's not even like, you know, it's a given. And that's part of that generational gap, right? It's like, mom, you don't know what I want. Can you try and get to know me for who I am? But they're like, what, you need a roof over your head? Yeah, what did you like about the show so far? Because Ryder actually hasn't read the book.
Or even don't like, too. Mm. Yeah.
But it's really heavy. It's really dark.
Well, also you watched it back to back, so
in a dark room on a rainy day. Yeah.
I like the acting and the opening scene, and it's like the cinematics or something. Ooh, I don't know what you call it. It's like really nice and
it's very,
well made.
Very beautiful.
The acting is really good too.
The acting is really
I remember Curtis from Infatuation, he watched the premiere, and that was what he mentioned too, that it was like beautifully shot. Lots of drone shots as well, which I thought was like really cool. Did you notice the drone shots?
Yeah. I also really like the costuming, like the different characters, and because it feels like what you wear is quite, it shows who you are at that time.
So that scene where, like, in episode three, there's a scene where the ladies are all wearing, like, the traditional humbug, and then he's wearing, like, the Western suit, and he is, like, a pastor, right? And that's when, like, when a lot of things, like, that's when Korea was really transitioning, not transitioning, but, like, they used to be, like, everyone used to wear the humbug traditional clothes the king and like a social system and stuff like that. And then when it started getting more Americanized, it was when the church started getting more involved. And that's very symbolic in like what he's wearing as well, because Christianity is
Western.
It's American. Is it American? It's a
Western
thing.
Western thing, yeah.
And having him wear that like sleek suit, I think like the Koreans back in the day, they would look at like these people, like missionaries and church people, and they look cool, you know? They're like, oh, they're so smart. They can read. They've got books.
They're educated. Either you're educated or you're rich or something. No, both.
Right?
That so, you dress differently. Well, the people who dressed more Western first.
And I just love that scene where you can see like how the clothes are so different. It's like two worlds colliding. So, yeah, costuming is like, I think it was done really, really well. Imino, Kohansu, he looks so good in his suit as well.
I just
wanted to add that in there. Sorry. But like when he wears the white hat, and I think he looks really, really, like, I think he's, yeah, can we talk about Kohansu? I think he's casted perfectly.
Excuse me.
I think he's casted perfectly, I think.
Yeah.
I think because he, the actor, he kind of always has a bit of a bad boy role. So I thought it suited him really well. And yeah, he's super handsome. And yeah, his Japanese isn't like perfect. But yeah, I thought he played that character well. And I was always curious like how I felt about him when like when I read the book. But I feel like in the show, it made it sound like it's definitely more a love story between like Kohan's, I don't know, from what I'm feeling, it's like Kohan's and Sunja. It's like the bond seems even stronger, I feel, in the show.
Yeah.
Is that how you felt too? Compared to the book?
I felt like the book, it's like, and the show, and the show not yet, but the book, it's like a love, hate, like, you know, it was her first love, so you know how important he was. But then you also know that he's in the background always looking out for them. But I just wanted to note on the acting. I was like, after the first episode, you know how Hansu is looking at Sunja at the market? And dude, her eyes, like when she was like, she felt someone looking at her, but then she was trying to look at him, but then not look at him. And her eyes, like, did this weird twitch thing. I was like, how the fuck do you act that out? Like, do you remember?
No, what?
She was, like, looking up, and then she saw him. But then she was trying to look away, but then looking, she wanted to look at him too, because she was also attracted to him too. Like, it was a very,
was it really
like,
real?
It was very real. I was like, whoa, how did he act that? Yeah.
Well, maybe there's a bit of realness there, because he is like a, top tier actor,
I think.
Whereas like with her, I've never seen her before. She's like I've never heard of her before. So I wouldn't call her a small time actor, but this is like her big role role for her.
Her acting like feels real.
I think they casted perfectly, seriously. And even like,
it's eyes. Like it's crazy. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And she's like, perfectly described. Like in the book, she's like pretty, but like.
They say she's plain.
Plain, no, but right? not ugly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what it is. Like, yeah.
But she's also not the prettiest.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she always emphasizes that, you know, she's a working girl.
Yeah, and she's like strong hands.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it, yeah, progresses into the 8 episodes.
I really love their, like, you know, that scene. The scene that I feel like everyone would have been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when after they pick the mushrooms.
Oh, you were waiting for that scene.
not everyone. I was telling Ryan, I was like, I think that was like the climax.
I was like, oh no, they're going to do it. I was like,
yes, this is the moment I've been waiting.
Julia said that was the climax in the book.
Oh my gosh. It's so naughty.
It is very naughty, like out in the open like that. Yeah. It's crazy. And she was pretty forward to wash his shirt. Like, I was just like, he's so rich. Like, he doesn't need to wash his shirt.
It shows, like, his past, like, he came from the bottom too.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to mention is that there's that scene where the Korean men are, like, the fishermen. Mm-hmm. They're all drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, this scene where they're singing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, like, so
when they were eating?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, things haven't really changed much in a way, because I feel like, because I went to karaoke on Friday night.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
It was so fun. And I realized, like, when I sing at karaoke, I get really, like, emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, like, relieving. And I feel like maybe it's a Korean thing. I think Japanese people do it too. Mm-hmm. You go to karaoke to, like, relieve stress.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that scene, I just thought, wow, like, music is such a key component, like, in Korean culture, because it not only, like, brings people together, but it helps you get through the hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know, just something about, like, a group of people getting together and, like, singing.
Yeah, I love karaoke.
It's like dancing, like Asian thing.
Like, it's an Asian thing. It's like dancing and singing. It's like with a few drinks and eating with your friends in your own privacy. It's like you can be who you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in a karaoke room.
With no shame. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's what Ryder was saying. Like, yeah, karaoke is the best because you can drink in there.
There's no randoms.
No randoms. And it's like a mini nightclub, like a private nightclub.
I love karaoke.
We should go.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to ask was, ask the audience, I think, is what they thought about the, like, portrayal of the Japanese and Korean culture. Like, was it accurate or was it still in, like, a lens of the Western society?
That's a good question. What did you think?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
It's interesting because the director, well, Justin Chan is Korean American, right?
So then
there's that. But then,
and the actors as well, they're Korean.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know what would be cool? If you guys got your parents to watch it and see what they say about it.
You know what's funny?
Because they're like a level closer.
I was like telling my parents about Pachinko. I was telling my parents about Pachinko, and they've never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal for them. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know. It's more of a Western sensation to have Pachinko, like, be on the top charts.
Or Western Asian, maybe. Or, I don't know. No, but Pachinko was widely read by all Western. Western countries, I guess.
Oh, should we have some soup to wrap up?
Oh, yeah. It might be cold, but... welcome back. This is our new segment called... Oh, you do that first.
No. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. I got really into it.
I thought you were going to record some sound and you can use it later.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'll do it now.
Okay, welcome to Get Nourished.
Get Nourished.
So today I brought a soup that I made yesterday. It is kind of a spin-off from the OG Cantonese, like just pork bone, carrot and corn soup.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many ingredients involved, but yeah, everyone kind of, you can do it whatever way you want depending on what you have in the fridge.
Yeah.
So I used apple and...
Apple?
Apple makes soups really sweet, like extra sweet, and I didn't have corn. So then I thought I'll just use an apple and then added onion, pork bone, carrot and some goji berries. And I don't know why, but these days I just put a tiny splash of a Shaoxing wine.
But, oh, cool.
Once it boils out, it's fine. But yeah.
Mm. Okay, well.
You can try
it. Oh, what's the name of it?
I guess a spin-off of the normal pork bone soup. And like what Hong is... Hong Kong style.
How do you say it in Chinese?
This soup is... Bye, Pepper. He's like, this is boring. This soup is... It's just like jugot tong, but jugot tong with penguo, hong la ba, and yeah, pretty much that's it. I didn't put too much, and sisu yuan chong, yeah, onion.
There's
no particular name for this, but yeah, try it.
Well, at first sight, like my first impression is that it looks like oden, like the Japanese oden.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got a big daikon, like a...
Oh, that's apple.
Oh, this is apple.
Yeah, that's the apple.
Oh. I thought it was
it
daikon.
It looks like daikon.
Yeah.
I thought it was pork.
Okay, we're going to give it a... Let's go for it. Do you eat this with rice?
No. So usually with Hong Kong-style soups or people in Hong Kong or south of China... We usually have a bowl of soup before dinner, and if it was really good or if, you know, your parents are forcing you to drink more, you'll have another bowl after dinner. Yeah, a lot of Hong Kong-style soups, it's a pre-dinner kind of thing.
Oh.
But the only one that we might eat with rice is the salmon head or fish head kind of soup.
Okay.
Because there's tofu, there's fish and... You can eat it with rice and dip the fish in like soy sauce or chili soy.
Mm-hmm.
But these kinds of soups are like standard. Like if you go to a really like a Hong Kong style cafe or just a Chinese place, they'll always have a soup of the day, like a big bowl of soup for the table to share or an individual bowl if you're getting a meal. And it just comes with the dinner. Like you just drink it and then you eat the main dish.
Yeah, I was going to say like in Eastwood. Like the Chinese restaurants, they give you like a pot of soup,
yeah,
like before the meal.
Before the meal, yeah.
Oh,
is this what it is?
Kind of like that, but then it depends whatever they're making that day.
Right.
It's not always the soup.
It's similar though, because it's got like carrot and stuff.
Yeah,
it's cool that there's apple in it. I've never had. I don't think any Japanese or Korean soups will have apple.
Yeah,
it's sweet. Another fruit that would be better to use is actually like, you know, nashi pears.
Oh.
That's even more sweet when you put it in a soup.
But did you say you'll have this after dinner as well?
If you want to.
Yeah.
But usually just before dinner.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then for you, what does this soup mean to you?
To me, I guess it's more like... I feel like this podcast has made me more interested in making more soups. In Hong Kong, they would have like a set ready at a supermarket, like a packet, and you just put it in the pot and you boil it and it's a soup. But here, they don't have that in Sydney, so you kind of have to get your own ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
But For me, I don't know. I think it's interesting to try out different soups, and it's meant to be healthy for you, right? Like, it's meant to be good for you. Mm. So, yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, please feel free to share your recipes with us.
Yeah, you need to share this recipe. This is very, I don't know, it is nourishing, isn't it?
I'm nourished.
I don't know what it is.
You're nourished? I'm nourished.
I think it's like, it's sweet as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't feel like you need to have a dessert or anything afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear, not clear, but it's not like a thick soup. It's a very simple, simple flavors. Little bit of sweetness, little bit of saltiness, and a lot of body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good body. I think it's coming from the apple as well. Mm-hmm. What did you think? I think I can tell you really liked it because, yeah, you smashed it.
Yeah. Pretty much what you said. Like, it's got a lot of body. It's sweet, savory, it's healthy and simple and warm.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how you say it's healthy because it's like, I feel like being with Asian cooking and food, well, obviously fried food is not healthy, but you kind of have that sense. It kind of balances out. I don't know how to say it, like
yin yang.
Yeah, like it balances out maybe your meal that's coming up that might not be as healthy.
Will.
Yeah, like, you know, it's healthy, like right. Drink some soup, you know, you're eating other stuff. But yeah, thanks guys.
I was a bit nervous because you guys are like ramen,
you know, ramen parties, and you know,
that was good.
You guys are really good at cooking, so I was like, oh no, hopefully
we're not.
they'll like my humble soup. So thank you.
That was so good. It was good. It was like it felt cozy and like nostalgic and familiar, even though I've never had it before.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like something you have at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I like about. Yeah.
Like, you can't buy this, really.
Yeah.
Unless you're at that restaurant. But even at the restaurant, a lot of, you know, parents might say, oh, restaurant soups might have MSG.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You don't know if they're, like, skimping on, you know, ingredients or something.
Yeah.
Or it's more salty or, I don't know, who knows.
Yeah, I think, I feel like I had this idea of what Asian soup is in my head, but I think doing this podcast with you, you're introducing so many different flavors and different types of soups. Like even like the fact that you put apple in the soup, that's really new to me, and the salmon head soup, and I don't know, just you calling.
Well, there's so many soups I don't know as well, like in other Asian cultures. So.
Yeah. So hopefully it's this segment can help. I'll share more recipes and bring all the Asian soups together.
Yes.
Because any ingredient is welcome.
That's right.
Well, thank you for watching or listening wherever you are. And let us know what you thought of this episode. I think it was pretty long, but if you've listened to this far.
Thank you.
So much. Thank you.
Yeah, and tell us what you think of Pachinko too, if you get a chance to watch it. And thank you, Ryuto and Peppa, for being our special guest today. How was it being on? You feel less nervous now?
Nerve-wracking. Yeah, I'm less nervous now. But in the beginning, it was like, whoa, it feels really different. Like I'm on stage or something. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It's fun, yeah.
Thank you, guys. I hope you guys can come back on the show.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Would love to.
You'd love to.
Oh.
Well, I was thinking that you could do a career change episode.
Oh.
Because Ryder had a big career change, right?
That'd be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give us a like if you want Ryder to come back, and
give us a podcast rating if you're here this far already. Yes, please give us five stars. I should say this in the beginning, but that's cool. But if you've listened this far, you might as well.
Might as well.
Subscribe, hit that like button. Leave a comment down below.
Ooh. Yes.
Natural. All right.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.